evening, and thank you all for coming into the Silence and Communication event here at Soul Repair. You can share, yeah, that's cool. Yeah. My name is Greg, and I, along with Matthew Thompson and Jason Conger, have worked over the past several months to put this event together. Everybody take a drink. So, tonight, 22 Futures are going to be sharing with you their responses to our theme, which is silence and communication. Before we begin, I would like to provide some context. I moved here about a year ago from Philly, and earlier this year, is there a shout out? No? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
East
Coast.
East Coast representatives. Earlier this year, Matthew, he was also new to Seattle. He approached me and we discussed Seattle arts, literature, experiences, working in bookstores, moving here from somewhere else or being a transplant, and most importantly, what it means to host and attend boring, uninteresting literary events, which is what this is not. We talked about exciting readings and innovations in performance. We talked about the role between the audience and the performer. We decided we wanted to put together an event that would surprise both us and the communities that we love. Everyone here is part of that. We wanted to unite different voices and at the same time redefine the standard reading environment. We invited Jason, he's also a Washington native, friend and collaborator, to join our talks. And it was soon decided that our theme would be silence. John Cage and his era of experimentation and will for broadening the performance was a force that we all shared. I think that we are excited. We don't really know what's going to happen tonight, but bear with us and enjoy it. Before I hand it over to Jason to introduce the set, I'm going to make some thanks to Soul Repair. Everybody, give a round of applause for Soul Repair. Is always open, so feel free to always go get more drinks if you need them. Secondly, our key supporters who have helped us in countless ways include Slab, Jack Straw, Rogue Scholar, the Richard Hugo House, Elliott Bay Books, and Open Books. Thank you guys for your support. Thank you for coming tonight. And if you haven't been up top, go up top at some point. You'll see all the presses and magazines that are here. Thank you to Force, Dark Coast, Calypso, Pageboy, and Wave. And thank you, Futures, for bringing your own literature to site. And finally, thank you to the Futures, and thank you to you, the audience, everybody. Thank you. So, I'm going to get off. Without further ado, here is Jason Conger, who has by far contributed the most to tonight's arrangements and performance.
I too would like to thank you all for coming, if I can do that without being redundant. The structure of tonight's reading has been determined by a chance operation using two card decks, and pays homage to the methods of composer John Cage, who sought not only to bring new elements into his work, but to remove himself from the process of composition. John Cage began implementing what he called aleatoric or chance operations in the early 1950s. Using the hexagrams of the I Ching and flipping coins to determine the outcomes of his musical and written compositions. He used everything from dice throws to random number tables and physical imperfections on sheets of paper. His most famous and infamous piece is 4 minutes and 33 seconds, a piece composed for any instrument and any number of instruments and consisting entirely of movements of silence. Cage wanted to bring attention to the sounds in the space, to those aspects of our environment which we are conditioned to ignore as we listen, create, and walk about in the world. To demonstrate that, in fact, silence is never silent, and there is always something happening if we are attentive. It is in this spirit, and a desire to open a field of possibility in Seattle, that we celebrate Cage's ideas by offering up a communal exploration of silence. Each of our readers has selected a cue which is based in some way on the actions of the audience members, or the sounds and occurrences in or outside of the space. So, we invite you all to consider yourselves collaborators, and part of the performance as it unfolds. As much as you will be offering attention to us, we will be watching and listening to you. Sounds a little creepy there. The performance is divided into two parts between 11 readers. The performers will read sequentially every other person and each sit down once they're finished, signaling for the next silence and reading to begin. Once we've completed one rotation of the circle, there will be a 15-minute break for refreshments and stretching. When we return, we'll complete the second round. The readers will stand together at the end of each section to indicate that it is over. So please hold all applause until the end when everyone stands. Thank you once again to our sponsors, the readers, and all the rest of you for showing up. So with that, I think we'll begin with a clip from John Cage himself. Enjoy.
When I hear what we call music, it seems to me that someone is talking, and talking about his feelings or about his ideas of relationships. But when I hear traffic, the sound of traffic here on 6th Avenue, for instance, I don't have the feeling that anyone is talking. I have the feeling that sound is acting. And I love the activity of sound. What it does is it gets louder and quieter, and it gets higher and lower, and it gets longer and sharper. It does all those things which I'm completely satisfied with that. I don't need sound to talk to me. People expect this. Listening to be more than listening. And so sometimes they speak of inner listening, or the meaning of sound. When I talk about music, it finally comes to people's minds that I'm talking about sound that doesn't mean anything. That is not inner, but is just outer. And they say, these people who understand that finally say, you mean it's just sounds? Thinking that for something to just be a sound is to be useless. Whereas I love sounds just as they are. And I have no need for them to be anything more than what they are. And I don't want them to be psychological. I don't want a sound to pretend that it's a bucket, or that it's a president, or that it's in love with another sound. I just want it to be a sound. The sound experience, which I prefer to all others, is the experience of silence. And the silence almost everywhere in the world now is traffic. If you listen to Beethoven or to Mozart, you see that they're always the same. But if you listen to traffic, you see it's always different.
You can't sleep. Evening enters, brandishing its articles of loneliness. What lies under waking, when currents of distraction shift and the bed that remains stacks with graves. You live in a civilized world, in libraries of logic, slick dissection, and steady hands of science. You circle the aisles, raised in reason, abstracted. Cadavers are pages, words are scalpels, our mouths are overflowing. Some sounds pollute the mind. Cage-kept girls like clipped canaries, romance by kerosene lamp, the soul skittering to darkness, reduced, cowardly thin. Bodies salted with bullets, chained, bottles rained to skin or stumps, blades. Dozer, misery whip, lockstep, advancing, fat. The salmon, fat with egg, draped on branch at the base of the dam, gray and moth-eaten as a discarded dress. While you dream of a world where life can happen. Birds still circle above you. Motor oil smears rainbows at your feet. Mercury, sea level rising inside your eyes. So you will see that the largest, most heroic parts of you cannot keep any living thing you love alive. I know why you can't sleep.
Seeing each other for a while now. Though when we started dating, it was a pretty unhealthy relationship. I wasn't very comfortable around him, and we had a lot of difficulty communicating. For instance, whenever we sat down to have a conversation, Silence wouldn't talk. It made me wonder if he even cared. And on nights I took him out to dinner, I usually ended up texting on my cell phone, and I know that's rude, but he acted like I wasn't even there. It made me feel worthless. I tried explaining it to him. I kicked and screamed, "Yo, Silence! It seems like you're always ignoring me." I spent nights crying into the tiles on his kitchen floor, "Silence, I'm feeling sad. Will you please help me out right now?" I shoved fingers deep into my throat and pulled up half-eaten food. "Silence, whenever you do this, I don't feel beautiful." I cut myself, bled out his name on the carpet. "Silence, please stop this, it hurts." The night I was going to end things entirely, going to cheat on him with pill bottles, he yelled louder than I thought Silence ever would. The pill bottles slipped and then spilled and stopped yelling. Then Silence looked at me and said, "Darling, I've been speaking to you this whole time. You just haven't listened. But now that I've got your attention, let me say this. It is hard to be patient. It is hard to stay quiet while watching the person you love sob your name on the floor, but I did it because it was the only way you would learn to stand up for yourself and know that you're a good person. So look, if you're willing to work through our differences, I promise to not let you go. And in that moment, I knew, Silas, he was right. I wouldn't be where I am without him, and yeah, even though we still get in fights sometimes, it's because he cares. He pushes me to be stronger and makes me stand up to my fears, so let me share that and introduce him to you right now. Hey, Silas, say hello to the crowd.
The story is called A Heavy Open Oval. It takes place on a napkin, a cafe on Wilhelmstrasse. No, I'm not saying that right. And see, that's where I'm going. We're together at a table, conversing, when suddenly, well, actually, it's said this way. Then a pleasant reminder to make a cough, and cough, stick a shoe on a niche. When the waiter appears, he asks me what I'm thinking. I can feel him staring down into the top of my skull, into the bent wiring, shooting sad little sparks. I say this? He says nine. I say nine? And he says nine, to help him make me up. I'm not Connor, the bike's got me. What follows is a long, uncomfortable pause. I feel my hands beneath the table, listen to the plates being banged in the stacks. Finally I say, guess I'll go with nothing. He writes something down to a notebook in his hand. It says with a bored tone, while shaking his head, the accent is in the middle, a heavy open up. He reaches out with his thumb and pushes down onto my forehead, a row of red ants writing crumbs off my eyebrows. The waiters are listeners. They have musicians' ears. They tune to tune out the incessant smacking of lips, the shelf, the bell. Told, I'd make a bad waiter because I make a bad listener. And I must be a bad listener because I'm always untangling a knot to my tongue. Here I am with a pen, taking notes on a napkin. Wilhelmstrasse, Vladimir, no thing. Well, I did my best to do better. Though, for a moment, I just stopped to wonder if the dark-haired boy doing a handstand beside me, humming out the corner of his upturned grin. It's like the Go in Van Gogh, going onward and toward the oncoming wall. The whirring machine of Nietzsche grinding away its own lettered gears. To open the bog off up at the middle is a doorway that unlocks into a wide, empty hall, where pages from books flutter down the ceiling. A hushed, crooked awe, reverberating forever down the endless black passage to a barely there whisper.
In a room without windows, gray cracks along the walls. We've all slept with each other. None of us are gay or would say that we're gay. It's just one of those things that happens on camping trips, at festivals, last throes of the party. Hey, this isn't what I planned. We sometimes shuffle our feet, but there is not much foot space. There are no lights in the room, but it is somehow not dark. No one here knows that everyone else here knows everything too. We are puffing out our chests. We are crossing our arms. 10 of us in a room with no windows. Light slipping in from somewhere and clicking sounds from just beyond the walls. Someone says it's music, but it's not music. And the guy who says that starts to dance, says, "Come on, guys," just before getting punched in the face. He collapses. His nose crunches and blood mingles with the carpet. There is carpet. It is old and cheap, and that's for the best, because he won't be the last.
You talk into it. I'll talk into it. I brought a little something, but that's too much talking into it. I tend to do things with my right hand, so I'll stick to that. John Cage and Sun Ra walk into a bar. John Cage and Sun Ra walk into a bar. Sun Ra is wearing headphones. Someone asks Sun Ra what he's listening to. Sun Ra hands over the headphones, and nothing's playing. John Cage and Sun Ra walk into a bar. Someone asks Sun Ra where he's from. "Where are you from?" "Saturn." "Come on, where are you from?" "Saturn." "Okay, I'll ask you one more time. Where are you from?" Okay, Jupiter." John Cage and Sun Ra walk into a bar, the Outer Space Employment Agency. Someone asks Sun Ra about a job. "What have you been doing lately?" "Nothing." "And how long have you been doing nothing?" "A long time." "Well, you must be an expert at it." "I'll hire you." "To do what?" "Nothing." "How much do I get paid?" "Nothing."
Of clarity for the mountains to have meaning, the forest.
image or the empty which describes it, birds that rarely beat their wings. Wood within music, two falcons, a forest, red. Places, fire, might, translate the landscape into something dead. I feel falling more than ever, then turn human ashes into diamonds, bones into hollow. Gnarled knuckles up, a hollowing this time of year. Clouds into valley breathe, shroud the mountains, fill my chest cavity, then recede. Ultimately unsure now, the empty word for wild, a speechless new form of language. Three mountains, two falcons, redwood. rinsing debris from our hair and searching for food. The only silence in Utoya under a background of weeping in the wake of 32-year-old Anders Behring Breivik's fear of multiculturalism and cultural Marxism.
Rune 12.
In the mid-50s, Miles Davis said he was only listening to Ahmad Jamal because what Ahmad didn't play was at least as important as what he
Rune 18.
The primitive hunger of sound. The notion of sound as gift. Cottonwood down, downed in May on the ground under the dream head pillow, so stuck in its insistence to follow its plan to mitigate this state we created.
Rune 8.
There is no true silence. Even embedded away from any creeks in the whole rainforest, if you listen carefully enough, you can hear the whoosh of earth cutting through space.
Using the office instant messenger, we conversed mostly in total silence, even though we sat only 50 feet from each other. The following are snippets from the conversations we had. We will be reading each other's parts. That's a lot of teeth.
After a while, the smiles appeared like text, he thought with some dismay.
I got you a damn field of roses. Those roses are real, she gasped. Jared has buzzed you.
What does it mean to buzz someone? Oh, okay, that's what that sound was. Hey, why did you buzz me?
Because you're a star. You deserve a cake. And then we'll go out for music and beer. And then we'll make heart, and I'll be like, kiss, moon, 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 sleep. Fuck that.
We are all born into the world as smiles. through various forms of socialization, we get the email and learn what it's like to be proud. Mostly, though, it's about who gets the telephone and who doesn't. In the end, everyone can win because we all become money. We get addicted to coffee and beer, and we wait for the last great jabber before moon slash death.
Want to go to lunch today? I hear music. Where we're from, the birds sing a pretty song, and there's always music in the air.
Is that another one of your literary references?
You're a literary reference. I don't read books.
Right, you read minds.
Read tits.
Did you know Facebook in 2010 had more views than Google? Cue Jarrett's words of wisdom.
That Mexican drug dealer still has my tiger.
Telephone. My team is nice and all, but half of them don't say anything in our meetings, so really it's kind of awkward.
I'm really, really happy for you. You should get to know them all.
I sense a bit of sarcasm.
I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, why don't they have a robot smiley face, like a robot talking? Because a robot just said, I don't know what you're talking about. But there's no way for you to know that.
Don't make me come over there and actually speak to your face. I keep unlocking the base of my chair with my foot. It's so annoying.
If you were to speak to a robot, you wouldn't have that problem.
Truth.
Chair would unlock you.
The world is a mysterious place.
Greg, isn't the world a mysterious place?
We are the grid.
You make me laugh.
You are my friend.
It's hard being minorities. Thank you.